Why did you put Islam the lowest out of all of them at 5% and then you at 30? Well, you go first.
I don't see Islam as a threat to the United States.
What goes to your mind when they're talking about them to reach us? What are they talking about, them?
Who's the them? I've been trying to find them for a long time, Eddie. When you ask, who are they? The religion is very different from the people. People who sin, people who are fallible, people who make mistakes in their life. God told us in the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, I've created you from nations and tribes.
Well, the whole world questions whether or not the president of the United States is even making his own decisions, mm-hmm. or whether he's the puppet.
A false flag. Yeah. Right? Building 7. You heard of Building 7?
Right. In America, we're giving how many billions to a year? For what? What do they do for us? Why do you want to be Muslim then? If you don't know anything about Allah, Muhammad, and Islam, what would draw you to my doorstep?
Could easily launch a false flag operation that sends us into a war.
Did you know we had someone faking to be a Muslim and came in here? Did you know that?
Right. Islam is the only thing on this list that's not a nation state.
It is.
It's a religion.
Everything is always one-sided, that if the Muslims do it, it's part of your faith. Mm-hmm. If the Christians do it, that they're not a very
good
Christian.
They understand, yeah.
And I ask Patrick, is this what your faith teaches you?
This is the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Deen Show. Imam Wesley, I've been telling this story to so many people over the years. I said, look, and I give an example, and then I'll go ahead and bring my guests, that when he accepted Islam, before that, his parents were going nuts. They were going crazy. They didn't understand it. And then after some time, his parents got to know it. Then they asked his father, how's your son? How's everything going now with your son? He said, I can sleep at night. Is that right?
That's right, man. That's right.
That's you, right?
That's me. That's me.
Assalamu alaikum. Sure. Barikwa.
Kalokai.
Kalokai. Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
So I said it right? That's the story?
That's the story, man. I even got one for you, subhanAllah. I was just in Honduras.
Uh-huh.
I was in El Salvador, actually. And in El Salvador, I walk in to the masjid to give some food, to leave some food for the community there. And I'm with my dad. I took my dad with me. A non-Muslim woman walks in and she says, I want to ask some questions about Islam. The imam of that masjid wasn't there. His wife said, well, we have another imam. And she pointed to me and she began to ask questions about Islam. Some of the brothers I was with began to answer her questions. She looked at my dad and she said, are you Muslim? He said, no. She says, I want to know what you think about Islam. My father said, I'll tell you two things. He said, one, I can sleep at night now that my son is a Muslim. He said, the second, do you think that God brought you, because she was from Georgia, here to visit your family in San Miguel, brought you from San Miguel to the masjid, down wherever you lived at downtown, to the masjid, to ask questions. Me and my son were about to leave. My son answers all your questions for you. He says, do you think God did that just by chance or for a purpose? He says, God did that so that you could become Muslim today. And she took shahada. She said, shahadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, shahadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah.
That was in Puerto Rico?
That was in El Salvador.
El Salvador.
2 years ago, subhanAllah.
How's your father doing now?
So alhamdulillah, he's doing good. Alhamdulillah, he just had open heart surgery. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, but alhamdulillah, he's pushing forth. He's getting better. MashaAllah, tabarakah wa ta'ala. And asked me for the very first time in 28 years for a Quran, to read the Quran. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open his heart.
Let's Ameen. Ameen. This is really good to hear. I want to get into this video and get some of your reaction, and we'll discuss it, because you know the common mantra that's out there: Islam is taking over these Muslims, and this is you have politicians out there who are creating, stoking fear, spreading propaganda, and you just had this individual in, where was it, in Utah, yeah, who just took out a knife and stabbed a Muslim 15 times. And he said, I intended to unalive Muslims. That's what the suspect told police after the stabbing, a Muslim who was working in the mall, I believe it was. And the victim survived but needs surgery on his hand. You didn't hear about this?
I just heard about it when I was in Puerto Rico, but I haven't watched it.
Isn't that interesting? It hit some local news, but it's not mainstream.
Of course. Anything that it's against a Muslim, or any violence perpetrated against a Muslim, is never hitting mainstream. But if it was the opposite way around, it would have been on every news station, right? All over the media, all over social media, unfortunately.
So it's a constant, Muslims are a threat, and all the other nonsense that goes with the propaganda. And then you have people who will bite on this, and they'll go commit some kind of hate crime. They'll go ahead and attack a Muslim, pull off an innocent woman. And you have people like this, unfortunately, now, and who was at one point, he was trying to have Christians and Muslims dialogue together. I hope Patrick Ben David can get back to how that was before. That's when I met him. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, we can work together, right? Yeah. We can work together without compromising and try to work on commonalities. But he's taken a direction, and I think here it backfired. He's got an ex-CIA guy, so let's watch this clip.
Sure.
And then see what your response is, and we can discuss it.
Absolutely.
So he opens up here, and he puts Islam in a category with the nation, these nation states.
Hey, I'm going to give you four countries to be paranoid about. Which of them would you give you the biggest percentage all the way to the smallest? So think about it. You have a round, like a literally it's going to look like a pie chart. Okay. And then you put the names in there, okay?
Okay.
So you have these four categories. You have Islam.
Okay.
So within Islam, we have IRGC, Qatar, just include all of them. We have, because, you know, it's also coming up a lot of different places. Then we have China and we have Russia.
So he's got China, Russia. And what do you think right now? He just categorized Islam with these countries.
Yeah, it's crazy because he tried to kind of use Qatar as a link, as, you know, let's look at Qatar as that Islamic country or Islamic, you know, state, and then try to put Islam a religion with countries to kind of dissect whether Islam is a problem or these countries who are superpowers, right? China's a superpower. At the end of the day, China has, you know, it has weapons, it has, you know, nuclear weapons, it has all of these different things. Islam is not a country. Islam doesn't have nuclear weapons. Islam doesn't have a president. Islam doesn't have a caliphate. So just to even put them all together to try to, you know, make sense of this pie chart that he's trying to make makes absolutely no sense.
He threw in there everything. IRCG. He threw in Qatar. He just put it all together.
Just throw it in the pot, jambalaya, and just.
What about Puerto Rico? I mean, that's some growing community. You're Puerto Rican, Boricua. You got people from Puerto Rico accepting Islam.
Absolutely.
I'm European. You got people from. I just interviewed an Italian lady who just accepted Islam. Yeah.
El Salvador, Honduras.
You just spoke about your father in El Salvador. That lady just took Shahada, accepted Islam.
Colombia, Venezuela. You know what I mean? You got all these people accepting Islam all around the world. And now you're going to just kind of put this Islam inside of this very, very tiny bucket of, mm-hmm. you know, Qatar and ISG.
Let's go on to the next where I think here it backfires. These are this individual is ex-CIA. And now he's asking him, okay, which one is the greatest, least threat? And surprisingly, I don't think he was expecting this either.
Since China and Russia, you guys both agree on 50 and 40, let's cross that one out.
Because within 10%.
Within 10%. Yeah. And since Russia, you're within the same, which is 20 to 30, within 10%, we'll cross that one out. Let's start off with Islam first, and then we'll go to why did you put Islam the lowest out of all of them at 5% and then you at 30? But you go first.
I don't see Islam as a threat to the United States. And that's what I was seeing it as. Paranoid to me. Right? What am I paranoid? It's mm-hmm. not Islam. Islam is so, it's difficult for them to reach us with any significance. When they reach us, it's difficult for them to bypass our security systems, mm-hmm. whether they're cybersecurity systems, police systems, border security systems, etc. They pose a real threat to our allies, who are much less sophisticated in their defense and national security sector, but not to us. Meanwhile, actually has the ability to drag us into...
Let's stop there. Let's get into... this first part, and then we'll continue. He says, I don't see Islam as a threat.
Yeah. And he doesn't see it as a threat because possibly he's read the Quran. Possibly he's learned something about Islam. Possibly he knows that Islam and Muslims are people of peace. We're people of faith. We're people who want to give back and better the world and not someone who wants to destroy the world. I think he's separating Islam from terrorism and from terroristic organizations and all of these other things that people use as misnomers to try to attack Islam, right? So Islam is no threat whatsoever. You're looking at a religion, you're looking at, you know, guidance, you're looking at a document that if you read it, you'll get to see exactly what these people believe in. And we believe in the opposite of what everyone says we believe in, or the opposite of what people say we are.
What do you think here? What is the way they're framing it, it's them to reach us. Because you have Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation. That's what Islam is. It's a way of life. So what goes to your mind when they're talking about them to reach us? What are they talking about, them?
Who's the them?
Who's
the them? I've been trying to find them for a long time, Eddie. Now, you know, in the community, in work, anytime someone wants to blame a person or if somebody wants to change something because they don't like the way things are, they always say, well, you know, they said, well, you know, those people, well, you know, them. And when you ask, who are they? No one ever has the answer. These are like some secret hidden people in the world that seem to affect everybody that they bring to the forefront whenever they want to accuse or put you in a state where they want to blame you. But they don't want to bring to the forefront who the real people are or look at the situation itself and be able to dissect that situation. If we're looking at Islam, let's look at Islam. Let's not say them. Let's look at the religion. Why? Because I tell people all the time, the religion is very different from the people, right? People are people who sin, people who are fallible, people who make mistakes in their life, in every faith, every walk of life. But if you look at the religion and you look at what religion teaches, then religion is going to show you what them people are supposed to be about or what those people are supposed to be about. So let's look at the religion and then we can kind of look at the people and we can make a clear distinction between the two. Just the other day, a person says, well, Muhammad was a pedophile, right? Wal-iyadu billah. I says, well, if we look in America, how many Christians have gone to jail for pedophilia, right? Oh, you know, men abuse women. If we look in the prison system right now, how many Christian men are in prison for beating their wives? I can guarantee you the numbers are always going to be more on your side than they are going to be on our side, right? If we want to be fair and compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges, but people like throwing stones in a glass house, and I tell them, don't throw stones in the glass house because you're going to break all your windows eventually if we're going to look at people and them, right? Versus looking at what the faith teaches and what religion teaches.
Now, you're also an imam.
I am.
Imam Wesley.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, so you're somebody who kind of breaks through the stereotypes also because you got, again, European, you're not Arab, I'm not Arab,
yeah.
And they usually associate Islam with maybe someone from Pakistan or, let's say, Arab country, Qatar, as they say, or Iran, which is how would you answer that? Because I think the them is, again, RSEG or these countries, but when you define Islam is a way of life, it's beyond a religion, it's a way of life,
yes,
from the Creator. So this is very important that you distinguish that, but they keep saying them.
And it's not a political system at the end of the day. Uh-huh. Islam is not a political governmental system that is trying to run the world at the end of the day. We're running hearts, souls, and minds, trying to bring them to the Creator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that they are living a good life. Make sure that they are people who submit. Make sure that they are those who care about other human beings. God told us in the Quran, Allah says in the Quran, I've created you from nations and tribes so that you may get to know one another. Right, and the most righteous among you are those who are most pious. Right, he didn't say that he created you nations and tribes. You came from Europe. I came from Puerto Rico. So that we can hate one another, right? So that I can just, oh, I don't like white people, so I'm gonna go ahead and harm white people. I don't like blacks. No, he created us so that we can have that beautiful diversity that exists in the world. But people like this, and statements like those, is what ruins that diversity and the beauty of that diversity that's supposed to bring us together.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are interested, language, culture, food. This is why people travel, right? But then when you say, oh, you got to watch it with them, now you can't travel to what? Qatar? Qatar is one of the most beautiful places I was able to visit last year.
You've been to Qatar?
I went there last year. I was there for about 10, 15 days. Well, you can eat off the street, how clean it is.
Did you see Tucker there? Tucker Carlson? Have you heard of Tucker?
I heard of Tucker. I didn't get to see him.
They're attacking him because he's been to Qatar. And
it's an amazing place.
He said good things. I've never been to Qatar.
Amazing place. It was, and
that's where the FIFA, right? That's where they had the
last year, the soccer FIFA,
right?
They had last year. They had in Qatar.
So many people were talking about their experience. Americans, Canadians, everyone's like, man, it's amazing.
Amazing.
Nothing but great things to say.
You know, you look at it, it's only about 300,000 Qataris or something like that. Everybody else is expat, meaning they're from outside the country. People who chose to live there who are not Muslims.
Mm.
People chose. They're the majority.
Americans.
Americans, people from around the world, chose to live there. Actually, everywhere you go, the language is English. I was shocked that
Qatar.
I got to speak, I barely know Arabic. You know what I mean? Went to a restaurant, I was with an Arab. He started ordering the food in Arabic. She said, excuse me? Okay, what do you need? We had to talk English, you know, subhanAllah.
Wow.
So you look at it, if that's the case, why would Americans move to Qatar if it's such a dangerous place?
Propaganda, yeah. Let's continue on.
Into all sorts of that actually does impact us. We are all paying more money for oil right now because of we are all suffering under an international outcry against American leadership because of the whole world questions whether or not the president of the United States is even making his own decisions, mm-hmm, or whether he's the puppet of so has an incredible ability to frustrate and put us in quagmire that Islam just doesn't have.
Okay, so what's the worst thing that could do to us.
That's very interesting here, because then he lists who he thinks is the real. So this kind of backfires on Patrick here. He says that Israel is the bigger threat, and he lists all the things that they've been dragging us into. He says all sorts of shit, paying more money now for oil is because of Israel, right? And it's not Islam. Suffering outcry now over the corrupt politicians that are now connected on the payroll and lobbying and everything, and they've sold out. They say America first. We're truly America first. Okay, but then now this outcry is because of this state, and then the whole world is questioning whether you have the president who is a puppet of this country. And they can launch. He talks about false flags, right? Building 7. You heard of Building 7?
Yeah.
You know about Building 7?
In New York.
So he links back. He said they've been doing the false flags. They do it often. They've been doing it. This is ex-CIA guy. I'm just repeating what he's saying.
And he says they do it well.
And they do it well.
Yeah.
That's not Islam.
No.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
You know, it's crazy. And unfortunately, we see this unraveling a lot. Just right now in Colombia, the new president is a Zionist.
Mm.
Right? Zionist. You know, the old
Colombia.
Colombia.
Yeah.
He just won. The old president was anti-Israel, anti-Zionism. And now this first thing that this guy did was says, we're going to repair this relationship with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to no more be anti-Zion, anti-Israel. And we see that even spreading throughout Central America. A lot of the countries now, the presidents and leadership, Mexico, right, as well, female. And they come in and they make a mess of things. They come in, the people don't want them. Right now, Colombia's they say he's probably going to go under fire. People are going to start fighting in the streets. You know what I mean? Warring people.
How did he get in? How did this person get elected then?
He won, man. I don't know. Yeah. I'm not Colombian, so I'm not sure the politics of Colombia. But he won, and now it's a problem. Because everywhere they go, right, their focus is, right? In America, we're giving how many billions to a year? For what? What do they do for us? Except, like he said, bring us into war. Bring us into war where we're spending money, we're spending oil, we're sending them ships. Right now, even when they were fighting against Iran, right, every missile that goes up, millions of dollars being lost, American money. You and I can't even retire in America, right, comfortably. We don't know if there's going to be Social Security by the time me and you are 75, 80, if they decide to raise it again. What do? The Americans get screwed while they get free land, they get free money, they get free health care. They get to move to, and they get to be okay. And here in America, the poorest of people, the healthcare sucks, right? They don't have food money. They get food stamps. They don't have free living. They get put in project centers. How is that the case that America cares much more about Israel than it does about its own people?
But somehow Islam is. I mean, he's listed all the problems, but somehow.
But we're the problem.
But Muslims are the problem.
How?
Yeah, Islam, you know, Muslims. If we could just get rid of Islam.
Yeah. Islam hasn't affected the economy in America, right? We're not taking wealth. We're not receiving wealth from America, right? Honestly, the Muslim world is on fire right now, if you look at the Muslim world, right? By America and getting their hands dirty in all of these Muslim countries, Palestine, Syria, Lebanon. You continue to go down the line, right? Myanmar. You continue to go down the line, and all you see is, right, hell on earth for the Muslim lands, right? But we're the problem. And I say it all the time. There are 8 billion people in the world, Eddie. 8 billion people, there are 2 billion Muslims. If we were an issue, 2 billion Muslims were a quarter of the population, you would have a serious problem on your hands if we were people that believe terrorism is the way and this was part of our faith. Out of every 3 people you see, it's going to be a Muslim. You would have a problem in the world, but it's not the case.
I think more people are waking up because they're starting to see this hate of Islam and Muslims is to keep the cycle of war, to justify the war. So you got to demonize the other.
Absolutely. And social media is waking people up, right? The whole October 7th woke a lot of people up. We've seen more people come into Islam during October 7th, more than 9/11, more so this time. Right, so
tell us what's going on, because you travel a lot and you convey the message, you share the message, you get out there and you do social work. So you're seeing the effects.
You see the effects. Just in Ramadan, right, after October 7th, the two Ramadans that followed, We're one of the largest. In one masjid, 200 people accepted Islam. In our centers, just mass centers alone, Muslim American Society, in our New York centers alone, we had a few hundred people who accepted Islam just in Ramadan, right? SubhanAllah. Right now, I run the Reverts program. We get about 200 to 300 inquiries a month. A month. And even more than that sometimes. Sometimes that's a week. We get 200 inquiries of people reaching out to us saying, I want to know more about Islam. I want a Quran. Can someone call me up and answer my questions for me, right? I had a woman who called me and she says, Imam, I want to be Muslim. And I said, okay, what do you, have you read the Quran? She says, no. I says, do you know anything about Muhammad? She says, no. I says, have you read anything about Islam? She says, no. I said, why do you want to be Muslim then? If you don't know anything about Allah, Muhammad, and Islam, what would draw you to my doorstep and want to be a Muslim and accept Islam? She says, I've seen people in Palestine being murdered and killed every single day, losing everything except their faith in God. She says, and when I get sick, she says, I lose my faith in God. I need what those people have. People are looking for faith, Eddie. People are looking to connect with God in this very challenging world that we live in, right? Life is difficult. People are barely making it. People are barely surviving, and people are tired of the nonsense, right? They're tired of being lied to. They're tired of being told what to believe in, and people are now going out and searching for those facts. And social media opened up that world where now everyone with a camera is able to film, everyone with a camera is able to post, and TikTok, when TikTok allowed all of that stuff to happen, before they start shutting things down, the world was able to see Islam is not the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Let's continue on, see if there's anything else here. So this is ex-CIA officer on the Patrick Ben David PBD podcast. And he's saying, Islam, what we got so far, is the least of my concerns, basically. He said, I am not worried about Islam. Let's continue on. But he's worried about who we were just talking about.
Yes.
Go a little further. So because you put 25%, that's a real threat. You put it bigger than Russia and Islam. So what are some things they could do to us?
So I'm not worried about sending a bomb into New York. If that's what you're worried about, we're worried about different things. Could easily launch a false flag operation that sends us into a war. They can have an Israeli who poses as a Palestinian, who goes in and causes some kind of crazy shit in Syria, and now all of a sudden the entire United States is engaged in Syria because of something that set up as a false flag. And that is something that the Mossad does all the time. They do it very well, very eloquently. They already selectively share intelligence with the United States. And the reason you selectively tell and share intelligence is to create the opportunity for misdirection mm-hmm. or malintent. So
let's stop there. What are you thinking? So they do it well.
They do it well.
He's given examples.
Yeah. And you look at it, it won't be the first time that mm-hmm. someone dresses up as a Muslim or
fakes he's Muslim. Did you know we had someone faking to be a Muslim and came in here? Did you know that?
In the Dean Center.
Yeah. Have you heard of the Jacob the Liar Lang, the guy who went and decapitated the had a pig's head over there in Texas? He came with not a kufi, a topi. You know,
the Pakistani topi.
Yeah. So you have a topi, kufi. Kufis are bigger, right?
Yeah.
Topi smaller, right? Yeah. Then he had a kameez. Not a thobe, but a chemise.
Allah.
And then he came in, and someone spotted him later and said, what are you doing? Why are you? Because they recognized him from Detroit.
Okay.
And then he made a big ruckus of scene and went online saying, oh, they got military-style men in here, and they are plotting this and that. And when this was live stream, it was gratitude to God. That was the gratitude to Allah, the conference. And it was live streamed. And we had a Christian and a Jewish man also who testified of what was going on here. But then for the people who would listen to him, his audience, they'd be like really nervous, scared, and they can be pumped up to come in here and do some harm to somebody because they're thinking like there's something mischievous going on, some plotting to do whatever he was saying. And then he's asking for money.
Yeah.
So.
No, and this is why I tell people all the time, listen, go out and meet a Muslim.
Go out and meet a Muslim.
Go out and meet a Muslim, engage with a Muslim, engage with a Muslim family, spend some time with them. You know what? Go out and visit a Muslim country. You know, one of the things I was just very, very happy to see the last time I made Umrah in Saudi Arabia last year, just January. They actually opened up like a whole area for non-Muslims to be able to kind of come to Saudi Arabia to see what happens in some of the holy sites like Medina. Mm-hmm. So I was outside of the city of Medina, and I seen like a bunch of Caucasian people.
I didn't know about that.
Taking pictures, right? And you can tell from the hijab it wasn't on too good, and you know they look like older Caucasian mm-hmm. people. So I said, these people must not be Muslim. And then I seen what's called like the Mushrif, the Saudi Arabian lead guy that's leading them through. So I walked over and I asked him, I said, you know, are they non-Muslim? He said, yes. I said, is this something new? He says, yes, this is a program now. We take them to a lot of the holy sites. They still don't go to Mecca, but they go to a lot of the other holy sites, and they get to hear the adhan, they get to see the prayer, right? They don't get to go inside of the Prophet's masjid, but they get to go inside of some of the other masjids. And they were like extreme. When they heard the adhan went off, you had to see them. They was just like amazed, you know what I mean? That at this time, you know, Maghrib time, you have thousands upon thousands of people going to pray to God, stopping everything in their life. And they were amazed by that. So I think, find something like that. Go out and experience what the Muslim really lives on a day-to-day basis. And I can guarantee every individual that does that, that all of this garbage that they say about us, you will change your mind and say that is not a Muslim, mm-hmm. right? And I and the Muslims, we also have to engage with the people. Don't wait for them to come to you, right? Because maybe they're not going to come to you because they've been listening to the propaganda, they've been listening to the garbage. And because of that, they fear you. They see you, they're going to be scared. So no, approach them. Listen, you know what? You want to know something about Islam? You know, come to my house. Come for a cup of coffee. Come for a cup of tea. You know what I mean? Alhamdulillah, invite them in and allow them to see who you really are. Even our centers, our masajid. How many centers are actually engaging just with the community that's around them, right? Just your neighborhood. Are you engaging with your neighborhood, inviting your neighbors into that space so that they can see that we're not in there building bombs and we're not in there plotting and it's not pinky in the brain, you know, subhanAllah, trying to create some plan to destroy America and destroy the world, right? But unless we do those things, the propaganda is going to continue, right? Even though it's lessening, right? Because they only have about so many things they can hold on to, right, to claim against Islam. And those things have been debunked so many times, and because people are waking up, that if now we, mashallah, take the step forward to put in that work, we can definitely change the image that people have in their minds about who we are.
So it's already involved in these kinds of operations at a very high success rate. That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about them backstabbing the United States. I'm concerned about them undermining our national interests. I'm concerned about them choosing, like they did with Iran, to escalate rhetoric about a certain issue that's more important to them than it is to us, that then goes on to affect us.
Okay, perfect. So then the infiltration of Islam, some say, to EU and what's happening to a lot of those countries, UK, you know, Germany, you're seeing it all over the place. And to the point where a documentary, I mean, Rupert Lowe did a paper, the 250,000, you know, stories of girls being raped in UK, 87% being Pakistanis and Muslims. And then seeing what's going on in U.S. right now with New York City, Mamdani wins, history, individuals that also won. So that's not going into the financial capital of the world in the States. Do you have any concern of them? They're infiltrating the United States in the future.
So here, this is another thing I think is very interesting, right? Islam is the only thing on this list that's not a nation state.
It is.
It's a religion.
That's right.
I'm not worried about a religion. I'm worried about people, and people identify sometimes as a religion. But it's interesting to me that we're actually weighing nation state threats against religious threats. So mm-hmm. when we talk about Islamic people in New York, I don't see them as a threat just because of what they believe. That goes against American values.
Bingo.
Doesn't get more perfect than that.
Yeah.
Doesn't get more perfect than that.
Islam, again, he lists the 250,000, and he talks about rape, and I'm saying for those people that know, because you say certain trigger words, and you know what I'm referring to, but. What do you say to that? So what he's saying, he's trying to equate Islam with some of the things that obviously Islam is totally against. You have the harshest penalties in God's divine law, and that is, you know, Islam is totally against this. But then somehow, what do you say when you hear this? He's talking about in UK and all these things and Pakistanis and whatnot.
It's absurd. And even when they look at the harshest laws, they'll say, well, that's barbaric. Right, that's barbaric for someone to have their hand cut off because of stealing. But then you go to a place like Saudi Arabia, where people don't steal because they know they're going to have their hand cut off, or they know that they're going to get decapitated for whatever reason. And then those punishments are rarely ever carried out. Why? Because the people fall in line, right? Versus in the UK, versus in America, how many people are in prison for, not just Muslims, again, how many people are in prison for murder? How many people are in prison for so many different crimes? Why? Because the law isn't strict enough. People get in, they get out, they come back in again, go back out again, right? It's a revolving door. Why? Because the jail system is also a money system for the American government. At the end of the day, everybody in there is a dollar figure. So if I can put more people in there, it's another form of slavery. It's another form of making money. So just like he says, he's not afraid of a religion. Why? Because religion does not call to these types of actions. He says, yeah, people may claim religion, but it doesn't mean that they're religious people.
That's common sense. I mean, you know that off the bat, but they always try to, if you have someone who's Pakistani, they right away tie him to Islam. So we have a bigger responsibility to live it right. But if you have someone who's Pakistani or he's whatever nationality, but if he's not living Islam, because if he was living Islam, he wouldn't be part of that statistic, whatever he's quoting. I don't know. He's
absolutely. Yeah. If that's the case, then what about the Catholic priests?
There you go.
The Catholic priests who boys mm-hmm. all the time. Is that found in the Bible that they should go ahead and be boys? And why don't we speak about that if that's the case?
Huge numbers. That's huge.
Huge. But why is it always one-sided? Right? Everything is always one-sided, that if the Muslims do it, it's part of your faith. Mm-hmm. If the Christians do it, that they're not a very
they
good
understand.
Christian.
Yeah.
They're not a very good Christian, and they're not a practicing Christian. Right, the kid goes in, or the guy goes in and slaughters a bunch of kids in school, right, and people in the school. Well, he's not a good Christian, or he wasn't Christian, right? If a quote-unquote person with an Arab name or a Desi Indo-Pakistani name goes in and does the same thing, Islam was targeting children, or Islam was targeting people to kill and hurt them, right? Same thing like with this guy who just got stabbed, the Muslim brother who got stabbed 50 times. 15 times. You know, his perpetrators won't be named as Christian or whatever faith they come from. They're going to be named as criminals at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But if it would have been a Muslim, a supposedly Muslim that stabbed someone 15 times, Islam would have been in court, right? It's just crazy.
Big time. You know that assassination attempt recently when they had Trump, this was probably a couple months ago, and the guy came in and they started shooting at the banquet. He tried.
Okay,
remember that?
Yeah.
You know, when you dig a little bit deeper, this guy was Christian, actually.
And nobody ever heard
that
the
was
word
a
Christian.
That was a huge event. Now they try to assassinate the. I was going to make a video about this and get a chance to, but that was actually a Christian shooter.
Yeah, which is crazy. And yeah. Christianity is not put on court.
We're not trying to put it on court. We know better.
Of course,
but they're always trying to put Islam in under the.
Would you know why?
Eddie, in the man, court.
At the end of the day, they put Islam in the courtroom because they understand that Islam does amazing things. It changes people like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
People like you and I who didn't care about God, people like you and I who probably, you know what I mean, was living a very different life prior to Islam, who probably would have ended up in jail or something like that, especially for myself. It changed me. It made me a better person. It made me someone who cares about humanity. It made me someone who dedicates my time to humanity. It made me someone who opened up my own humanitarian organization to be able to work with humanity and to show humanity a better face, right? Give humanity hope. They're scared of that. They're scared that, subhanAllah, when you provide hope, you provide help, people want to join you. Just in Puerto Rico, I was in Puerto Rico, just came from Puerto Rico yesterday. We collaborated with a church, a Catholic church. So when we ended, I went to give the woman, she's Pentecostal, she's a pastor. I said, yeah, I would like to give you a Quran. I said, not because I want to guide you to become Muslim, but because I want to remove any misnomers about Islam and what you have in your head about Muslims.
Yeah, for educational purposes.
Right? Purpose only. She was like, no, I can't take that. I gave it to another girl that was from her congregation. She snatched it out of her hand and put it back in the box. She said, we can't accept that. I'm like, but why? It's for educational purposes. I read your book, read mine. I understand where you come from, understand where I come from, right? She said, oh, I can go on Google. I said, no, you're going to go on Google and you're going to find all of the bad
misinformation.
Things, the misinformation, and then we're back at square one all over again. But what I saw from her was fear. fear that you've showed up from the United States to help people in this project complex that need help, that don't have anything, right? And if you give them that book, they may come and accept your faith. But those are choices that human beings make. Let them learn about faith, and hopefully, if it guides them to be a better person in life, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
Then so be it. Don't be scared that, you know what I mean, scared that people are going to accept Islam and, you know, the population is going to grow of Muslims in America. Great. Alhamdulillah, we're going to help make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Isn't that what Trump wanted? Make America great again? Well, we're here to make you help make it great again.
So how do you feel? You list all these things that Islam has done for you and for so many people who accept, that's why they accept it. More women accept Islam than men.
Yes.
They do the research.
Which is telling.
Which is telling big time. With all the propaganda that oppresses women and subjugates them and all this other nonsense, but they're coming more than men. And then you have yourself, people from all different walks of life. So, but then when you hear the opposite of these politicians and then the Patrick Ben Davids and others who are spreading this misinformation, the hate, and then what do you think? What goes to your mind? So you know the truth. You're living it. You know what it's done for you. But then when you hear the opposite.
When I hear the opposite, I have to question that individual, and I do. And I ask Patrick, is this what your faith teaches you? To be a person of hate, because I know that's not what my faith teaches me.
Mm-hmm.
You're accusing me of it, but the reality is that I see that you're the one spewing the hate as a Christian, as a Jew, or whatever it may be, right? It's not coming from us, right? So we're being accused, but really the accuser is the one who believes in those things more than anything else or practices those things more than anything else. And that comes from them, and it doesn't come from the Muslims. And if you look at that, you should ask yourself, is that not odd? That your faith is supposed to be the peaceful one, the loving one. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus came to save the world. But yet, you have so much hate that the words that come out your mouth are not words found in your Bible. Rather, they're words of racism and everything else that comes from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Are we really the threat, or is it them?
Mm-hmm.
They have to ask themselves that question every day.
And I like how the ex-CIA guy, he said, this is un-American. So we'll finish off with that. It's un-American. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah, it's un-American, to be people who want to harm America. And I don't think there's one Muslim that lives in America that ever wants to harm America.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care, even like the other girl, Sandra, that she comes in afterwards and she begins to mention all these different organizations and people that have come here and try to do different things, MSAs, and they're trying to come in through MSAs. Mom Donnie, as they mentioned, okay, one mayor with three staff members that are Muslim, all of a sudden Mom Donnie is going to make this big change. He's going to change New York City when the Muslims are not the dominant dominant group in New York or dominant nationality of people in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. It continues to be propaganda again. We are everything American consists of, Islam, mashallah, calls to living that way, to practicing that way, and to making it better again. Again, we're here, just like Trump said, make America great again. Let's make it great again. Let's let people be able to open their minds, let people be able to see the truth for themselves and choose for themselves what's truth without you even having to propagate or say negative things. And let's see what people choose.
What is Islam? For the person that's just tuning in now and they figured out it's not, because they put it into a category of nation states. The ex-guy, and he made that clear, they're not a nation state.
Yeah.
But what is Islam for the average person?
Islam is al-istislamu lillahi bil-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bil-ta'ah. It is to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submit to God in his oneness, right? And to obey God Almighty, right? So a Muslim, the one who is submitting to this faith called Islam, right? They basically are giving their life to God, saying, God, I worship only you. You are the creator of the heavens and earth. You are the creator of everything that exists, human beings, everything, animals, stars, moons, constellations. And you have sent down a revelation. And in that revelation, you have taught us how to live. You have taught us what we're to do, what we're to stay away from. You've taught us, right, morals, values. You've taught us to be people who give back to the world, don't take from the world. All of these things are Islam. Peace, tranquility, kindness, smiling, right? Being a person who is loving, gentle, right? All of these things are Islam. All of them are inculcated and found within the religion of Islam, right? So Islam is just a simple submission to the will of God Almighty. Not to your own will, not to your own thoughts, not to your own right desires, but you submit yourself to the one creator of the heavens and earth. And when you do that, you're a Muslim who is practicing the fold of Islam.
What do you think about Jesus?
Jesus was one of the five greatest prophets sent to mankind. We love him absolutely, completely. We love Mary. He's mentioned 25 times.
His mother?
And his mother Mary. We love her, right? We believe in his miraculous birth. We believe that he was sent to guide his people during his time and to bring them to worshiping the one God. Just like in the Bible, in many different places, he says the Father is greater than I, right? Why thou call me good when the only one good is that one in heaven? There are too many things where Jesus is guiding us to God, showing us that he was a worshiper of God. And we say he was a Muslim. Why? Because he was one who submitted his will to God, right? And basically obeyed God Almighty. And because of that, we say that he is a Muslim, not in the sense that he followed Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but in the sense of submission.
Do you believe in the Day of Judgment?
We believe in the Day of Judgment. We believe that the Day of Judgment is going to be a day that is going to be one of the hardest days for human beings. It is the day that you're going to be judged for everything that you've done in your life, from the day that basically, for us Muslims, from puberty until the day that you die, that you have a record that's going to be given to you. Your record, right? If you're given to your record in your right hand, success. If you're given your record in your left hand, doom, right? And basically, there's nothing that's going to be hidden. You're going to stand before God Almighty for the things that you worship, for the things that you've said, for the things that you've done, for every single thing in your life. And we know that God is mighty, Almighty is just, and he's not going to be unjust with anybody. And based on his justice on that great day, people are going to either go into hell or they're going to go into paradise. And we believe that that day is going to be here soon for each and every one of us.
Do you believe that God can be parts like a Trinity, or that there's more than one God? Not more than one God, but God is like the Christian concept of the Trinity. What does Islam say about that?
Laysa kamithlihi shay'. There is nothing in like unto God. God is not like his creation whatsoever. God is distinct. God doesn't need to sleep. God doesn't need to rest. God doesn't need to have children. God does not need to have relations. He does not need to have family. God was here before anything existed. He'll be here after. God is the one who, mashallah, created everything that existed, and he has separated himself from his creation, and there is nothing like him, nor are there associate gods alongside with him that he has to battle with or fight with for power, right, for status. God is the creator of the heavens and earth, and there is only one God.
That's it, period. Pure monotheism. I think that's what really stands up about Islam, and that concept has always been there since the first man Adam, all the prophets after. They all came with the same message: submit your will to God, to the creator of the heavens and earth, do good deeds. What we just discussed, judgment day, prepare for it, paradise, hellfire. It's always been the same.
Always been the same. It never has changed. It hasn't changed until people, human beings, changed it, mm-hmm. right? And when you look at it, why has it been consistent that whole time? And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes, and now people want to change the concept. Doesn't make sense.
In the Quran, if anyone reads it, is there enough evidence and proof that it is not by Muhammad? Because if someone says, well, Muhammad wrote the book.
Yeah, in the Quran we have scientific proofs. There's scientific data found in the Quran, right? The child being born, the stages of the womb. You have the levels right underneath the ocean. You have the mountains that are keeping
as pegs,
the,
yeah.
pegs keeping the world together, right? There's so many different things in the Quran that can show you and inform you that there was no way for Muhammad, the man in the desert, right, over 1,400 years ago, he was going to have all of this information. How did he get all of that right? You know what I mean? Being in the middle of the desert. Impossible when we've just learned these things within this century.
That's profound. We often talk about Jesus' miracles, but then you have the ultimate miracle of the Quran. It's preservation, the authenticity, and what you mentioned. They're just facts in there, not fiction. There's no way he could have guessed these things. One thing, second thing, third, it's all on point. And then the prophecies, yeah. And then the miracles he did, that you have abundance of people who are witnessing. The multiplication of water, food.
Yes.
So many different miracles that he did actually. That, yeah. There's more proof, even though we believe in the miracles of Jesus because of the Quran, but you can't link it to anybody.
And there are no eyewitnesses.
There's not, but we have hundreds of eyewitnesses, thousands. Yeah. In one case, I think it was like 1,000 people narrated with the food incident, right?
Yeah.
It's truly mind-blowing.
It is, subhanAllah.
Yeah.
But again, it just really takes human beings to wake up. I say you got to have your cup upside, right side up to allow things to pour into it, right? And not right side down, right? Because if you pour on top of it, you just make a mess of things. Allow your heart to be open. You don't have to accept the faith. Just allow yourself to understand the faith, understand the people of that faith, right? Because we're human beings at the end of the day. And if you do that, you'll definitely change your mindset about who Muslims are and what Islam is all about.
What's the name of your organization?
So I work for Muslim American Society, New York, and then I have the three Puerto Rican imams as well. That is our humanitarian branch, our humanitarian org. And we've been doing work since 2017, Palestine, Pakistan, Nigeria, Central, South America, Haiti. So here in America, giving back to human beings.
Beautiful. That's the work that every Muslim's trying to do, trying to make the world that we live in a better place. Christians are not going anywhere. We're not trying to remove people of a certain religion off the face of it. But at the same time, Islam, as they're trying to get rid of it, it's been here. It's not going anywhere. It's submission to the will of God. How are you going to get rid of that concept?
You can't.
So try to understand it. Not from the paid people out there who are just paid to hate and spread propaganda. Like you just said, beautiful advice. Go visit with a Muslim. Go learn directly from people who have studied the way of life, the religion. We're not going to chase you out. I saw a video where people were trying to go into a specific religious place, and they're forced out. This is from one of the three Abrahamic, they call it, right? You have the other one.
Yeah.
So people go out. Have you seen any of those?
Yeah, I saw those.
You
can't come in here. You can't ask no questions. You can't sit in here.
You got to be a member of the club.
You got to be a member. You got to be born into it.
But we are actually excited for people to come.
Our doors are always open.
Come, talk.
The Dean Show here in the Dean Center.
Yeah.
Right?
So, when we officially open. So for people who've been hearing about the Dean Center, now this is your second time here. What are your thoughts? What do you think? You know, you're going to be actually giving khutbah, a sermon here today at the masjid.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts for?
No, I think this place is amazing. Mashallah, you thought it out well. You have different buildings for different things. You know, you had all the way at the end, you have the martial arts and jiu-jitsu and the gyms for people to stay in shape. Alhamdulillah, you have the school building for the kids. Alhamdulillah, then you have the masjid building for the worshipers. You know, mashallah, you have the building that we're in that's for conferences, and what you're telling me now, kind of like a not an art studio, but kind of like a museum that you'll be able to walk into and kind of learn about Islam,
educational center
about different, you know, about our faith and things of that nature. How do we believe in Jesus, you know? And these are doors that are open, alhamdulillah, so that people kind of come in and really educate themselves. We need more places like this, right, that focus on those different things, especially being an open door policy where you can come in and get educated about who Muslims are and what we believe in. The masjids, many of them across the country, are only masjids. You go and pray Sunday school, that's it. You know what I mean? Alhamdulillah. So I think, you know, those who know about the Dean Center need to support this place, have to give more money to this place, inshallah, so that, mashallah, you can finish the project, alhamdulillah, and hopefully that this can be duplicated in many different areas around the country, inshallah, outside of just Florida.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Great advice. And let's close off. Anything else you want to end with? And what advice? You sent a direct message to Patrick McDavid. You asked him. People are out there. They kind of now they've listened to. We kind of explained Islam. Anything else you want to say for the person who's a little bit skeptical, or, you know, they're kind of at the door and they're there but not quite yet? Anything? What advice?
Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. We're human beings just like you. Ask, be inquisitive, be curious, go to your local mosque, go to your Muslim friend, your Muslim neighbor, your Muslim coworker, and tell them, listen, I want to know a little bit more about your faith. And don't be scared to say, are you a terrorist? Are you an oppressor? Do you rape children? Do I need to be scared that you live in my neighborhood? I can guarantee you that when you meet that person, you learn about that family, you're going to be happy that they live in your neighborhood, that they work in your place of employment, that they live in this country and that they are people just like you who care about America and the world.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you.
Wa'iyak.
I'll reward you. Jazakallah khair. And thank you for tuning in. And if you want to get a free copy of the Quran, go to thedeanshow.com. It'll be a gift from me to you. You can read it for yourself. Subscribe if you have not already. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.